He is coming to the Olympia Theatre on Dublin 22nd, and we can't wait to have him back. Always a big hit when he comes to Ireland. His show is called The Fast and the Curious 2019 Tour. It is English comedian Russell Cain, and he's on the line. Where are you right now, Russell?
The honest truth is I'm in a shed at the bottom of the garden. It's the only place that I can speak to someone without the word Daddy in the background.
Are you sure this isn't where you live now?
It is really as well. Anyone with children, normally the male parent will find himself living in a shed or a garage.
Yeah, because Russell, recently this summer I built a kind of playroom out the back garden for my kids with the express purpose of getting the plastic toys out of the house and hopefully them as well. But you're right, I've ended up out there conducting meetings and having private phone calls while they're outside looking at me. Yeah, completely down.
It's just a matter of time till they'll be picking up your droppings with the plastic bag as well, what you're doing in the garden.
Although, Dave, it does sound like your meetings are with you and your kids' teddies all sitting around in a circle.
Now listen, Mr. Potato Head, you were late last week three times.
Assembly of the board, Pinocchio, what have you got, any ideas? And tell the truth this time or we'll know.
Yeah, are you particularly handy as a man? Are you, Dave?
No.
Dave ticks all the boxes at the DIY. I am utterly useless.
I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. I do feelings, dress up, make believe, clothes shopping. My dad, also called Dave, was so physically adept. He sort of neutered me by making me insecure. So my dad was the type of man that could look at a shelf and put it up. He'd be like, get on the wall, and it would just smack go up. And I'm like, if I hold a screwdriver, I'm like, oh, it stings, and then it just falls on the floor.
Well, you recently release a book all about your dad called Son of a Silverback, and I guess the idea of the book is what it's like living with somebody who is that alpha male.
I'm assuming it's on sale in Ireland. I really, really
absolutely
hope it is,
yeah.
Because the reason being is, obviously, I've toured Ireland a lot over the years, and I know for a fact it's even more the case. You get these alpha male, laconic, few words a day dads who sort of dwell like beasts in the corner. You get even more of those in Ireland than you do in Essex or Armfrock. And it's just that now and again, one of those dads spits out a son like me, skipping around the house with a glittery question mark over his head, going, I think I'm into theatre, Daddy.
Dave's reaction to you and your delving into theatre?
Well, up until I was about 17, his main reaction was, please bring a bird home. So, I'm begging. it's one of the weird details of my dad that I go into in the book is that he did actually work at Butlins one season, the holiday camp, doing stand-up. Oh. And he was a bit of a look for my dad, and he was spotted once and did a few like modelling campaigns. But he ended up with a sort of embittered manual labourer howling at the sky about what could have been, you know, with a massive chip on his shoulder. I'm just a builder, I'm just a navvy, you know, no one cares. You know, he had a bit of that going on. But he made me, in the best way possible, the opposite of him. Full of energy, optimistic, into the pursuits of the mind. But the end result was we had nothing in common. Mm. We were just, you know, we lived in the same place, but we were opposites. We probably would have done quite well moving to Belfast.
Yeah, that would definitely work.
And so what age were you when he sadly passed on?
Well, my dad passed away in 2003, so it's a long, long while ago. But by the most bizarre coincidence, it was the very month I started stand-up. Just a pure coincidence. And in fact, my first ever stand-up gig was scheduled for 2 weeks after my dad's funeral. I mean, it's the most dark, bleak coincidence, but at the same time, you can't help ponder that those two things are joined, like some sort of Marvel movie, because as soon as he passed away, it released all these stories. I never had the courage to say while he was alive, as I enjoy drawing breath. And it was Russell Howard, actually, that said to me, but it was a long while after, about 2-3 years in. I was doing okay. But in the car, when I was on this tour, while I was doing with Russell Howard and Reginald D. Hunter and a couple of our comedians, they're all crying laughing because I'm telling stories about my dad, which I just thought were bleak and brutal about this miserable man, but they're crying laughing, and Russell Howard said to me, that's your material, start using that.
Right.
So I did, and then boom, I won this Edinburgh Comedy Award, what used to be called the Perrier Award in 2010, and it all took off from there.
Wow. Do you think he'd be proud of you now, having seen all the things you've accomplished, or would he still be scratching his head and wondering where it all went wrong?
I managed to be the first person in my family. So when we finished school here in the UK, we do the A levels, which is the bit between 16 and 18, and that's the bit that gets you to university. So I wasn't just the first person to go to university, I was the first person to get an A level. So I'd already done like the first person to stay past 16 at school.
Right.
So he'd already witnessed that, and he witnessed me go to uni and get the highest first class honours degree that year. Still not a word came out of his mouth. But my mum always said he was private. He was private with his pride, which it sort of conjured up an image of Boston English and then him going, I'll be in the shed if you need me. expressing his pride next to his tools.
Well, now that you are a dad as yourself, even if you are a dad who's hiding in his garden shed, do you think your attitude to your own kids is different because of your own experience?
Totally. I think you become... Boys, if you're lucky enough to have a dad who's around, you either become like him or the opposite. Very few sons become a little bit that's slightly changed. You sort of photocopy or you rebel. And so when I was brought up, you know, the spare room was never used, but no one, like, there was no mess, there was no chaos, everything had to be planned in advance. No one was allowed over. So now I'm always like, there's an auntie falling out the spare room, there's cousins falling out the loft, there's people always staying. I want my house, when Minna's a bit older, she's only a baby at the moment, really. I went, you know, to be the one, you know, with the 20 sleeping bags lined up in the conservatory for the sleepover.
Yes.
I want that to be my house, not the other fun house across the town like it used to be.
Although I can't see you talking to your kids going, you know, come on, everyone, let's put on a family play. And they're like, Dad, I just want to put up a shelf.
And play rugby.
Shut up and put on your sequins.
But I'm already in the dress.
talk to us about the Fast and the Curious. Is then your live shot? It's coming to the Olympia on the 22nd of November. What can people expect if there's only a little bit of Dave, your dad, in there? What else is going to be in there?
And it's the usual stuff, just cannibalizing my family, talking about life and love. But the jumping off point is, I don't know if this will be true for you two, is how in most partnerships, normally like husband and wife, but it can be brothers or mates, there's normally one super organized, scheduling, always on time, making the charts, paying the bills, doing the cardio, lunch pre-made in the fridge, and one sort of Buddha that's just cruising through life, hoping stuff works itself out. And that's the jumping off point.
You are literally describing the two of us.
It's always the same.
What's terrifying for me is that in work with Dave, my work wife, you know, I'm the late, disorganized, what are we doing now person. But then the minute I leave work and go home, I am then the organized person. And my wife is the other one.
Trust me, that terrifies me a lot more than it terrifies you, Dermot.
I use that jumping off point in the first half. But I don't sort of wring the juice out of it. I just jump off from that and then I end up just telling unbelievable stories about Lindsay, my angry Manchester Liam Gallagher Prosecco head wife and all the crazy stuff that she makes me live with, and my satanic daughter. I mean, we've got one child and we're only having one child because we got, you know, the eye rolling satanic center of attention mental one first, which is the best contraception you'll ever have. Just have it. Oh no, I'm sorry for the parents, you know, that get the nice placid one first and then get tricked. And I have a second one, and it's like, I'm the daddy of the firm now, what's going on? I'm like walking by the time it's 6 months. I mean, I will be borrowing a little bit of holy water when I'm over there just to sprinkle on my daughter's forehead when I come back.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it will sizzle.
Sounds like you need it, all right, in fairness.
We'll ask the bar to serve it at the Olympia. We can't wait to have you over, Russell. Thanks so much for chatting to us today. It's going to be a great night,
thank
as
you.
Always, to have you in Dublin and Ireland. And
thank
yeah,
you.
We'll see you then.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Russell. All the best. Bye.
Bye.